Isabel Kershudian covers the Capitals for the Washington Post, and she joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So, Isabel, did we were we a little too quick, do you think, a little too hasty to just assume that the Ghosts were going to consume the Capitals and that series was over?
Maybe. I mean, it seemed like the Caps were kind of, they were definitely outchancing them, but it seemed like there was a lot of good in what they were doing, even when they were losing. They were down 0-2 in the series, or down 3-1 in the series. I mean, they, were out shooting them by quite a margin. And, there were a lot of things that they were doing right. And it felt like if they could just figure out a few things, then maybe they could turn it around. So I think we've seen that in the last, four periods, right? The third period of Game 5, where, they kind of scored those three goals to come back from being down on the verge of elimination. And then, last game obviously was pretty convincing. So I think they've, to a degree, kind of put the pieces together as to how they have to play against Pittsburgh. And it might also be that, injuries and everything else are catching up to the Penguins.
Isabel, what was your reaction when you found out that Barry Trotz was going to juggle his lines a bit and put Andrei Burakovsky on the top line and move Alexander Ovechkin? Well, I'm not going to use the word demote because line shuffling happens in the playoffs so often. But, yeah. Move Alexander Ovechkin down in the pecking order, I guess would be the best way to put it. Were you surprised at that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I thought it was kind of a panic move, to be honest. It took a lot of... It was very bold. I mean, it took a lot of courage to be able to do that, because if it doesn't work, and you're the head coach and you lose in Game 5, a lot of people would have wanted his head on a platter for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that it worked, now he looks brilliant, right? But, Burakovsky's doing really well in that top line. He's at a lot.
Oh, I think we may have lost our phone line. Travis goes to the printer. As soon as he goes to the printer, the phone falls. Just the question I asked Isabel was about Andrei Burakovsky being moved to the top line and Alexander Ovechkin dropped down to the third line. Certainly a bold move. A bold move by Barry Trotz. We got to keep in mind with Barry Trotz, we are talking about a coach who's sixth in the NHL in coaching wins with 713 regular season wins. He's behind Scotty Bowman, Joel Quenneville, Al Arbor, Ken Hitchcock, and Lindy Ruff. Of the five coaches ahead of him, only Ruff hasn't won the Stanley Cup, and he reached the Stanley Cup final with the Sabres in 99. So there's a little bit of history here at work for Barry Trotz. We'll bring Isabel back in. Isabel, sorry for that. Sorry for the line dropping. But you were talking about the lineup move that Barry Trotz made with Alexander Ovechkin and Andrei Burakovsky.
Yeah, Lars Eller is sort of... I remember that morning we asked Lars Eller about playing with Ovechkin. He was like, it could be good, or it could be great. And I'm thinking in my mind, or it could be a disaster.
Yes.
If this doesn't work, your season's over, and everybody's, going to blame the coach to a degree because this was a very bold move. And Barry said, he could have always gone back to the old lines, but it clearly did work. Burakovsky's very fast against a kind of speedy Pittsburgh team. He added some kind of youth and speed to Ocean Backstrom. And Alex is obviously a big physical presence and a finisher, and I think that's what Eller and Wilson needed.
Mm-hmm.
And the second line was always very good. So
Right. They've
been able to kind of roll three, and now you're seeing Pittsburgh really try to kind of match that or react to that, which, early in the series I thought the Caps were really trying to react to what Pittsburgh was doing. You saw the Penguins try to put HBK back together. That didn't work. Now they're trying new lines for this game. So I think the Caps are in a good place, and they're going to stick with the same lineup. And I also think just kind of emotionally for the psyche that Ovechkin accepted that third line role without a lot of, complaint. He didn't say anything publicly if he didn't like it. I think that meant a lot to his teammates.
I was just going to ask you that, Isabel. What was the kind of the emotional impact of making that move? Because obviously, you can talk about it in hockey terms and, about how that balances out the three lines, but
right.
if you're taking kind of the big guy in the room and putting him in a smaller role, certainly reducing his minutes, that does kind of send a message, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Niskanen, I remember on Monday night, said that he absolutely loved it. that he thought it was, you know, the captain sort of checking his ego and showing the team that he was going to do whatever he, you know, needed to do to win. And yesterday, Trott said that it was the strongest message a captain could make. And so I think they all, like, really respected that. I think they, you know, rallied behind it. And, yeah, I think it did. He's made sacrifices all year, Alex has. He's, you know, his minutes all year have been lowered for the sake of kind of this being a four-line team and a more, like, even balance of playing time and everything else. And he saw his kind of production go down, you know, at least in part because of that. And so this was just to be sort of a continuation of that, him showing that, you know, he's kind of done everything there is to do individually, but this is the one thing he hasn't done, and he's willing to do whatever asked of him to do it.
Isabel, is the mood around that team different now going into this Game 7 compared to going into Game 6? Is there a little more confidence? Do you detect that?
I certainly detect confidence. I think what's going to be interesting is going into Game 5 and Game 6, they kept saying, we have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that they kept saying, like, you know, we felt tight earlier in the series. You know, maybe the pass was kind of a weight on them. And, you know, just those two games where they're saving off elimination, I think they just played a little bit freer and they didn't feel that weight quite as much for whatever reason. Now it's going to be interesting when they're back to being tied and they are kind of favored to win this because they do have all the momentum. How do they kind of handle prosperity? I think that's been the question all year long is how do you handle expectations? When everybody thought they were out, you know, that's when they played their best. Can they keep that going now that they're getting kind of the favored team that everyone expects to maybe win, and then if they win this, win the Stanley Cup.
Do you think, if they win this, does that kind of, is the albatross gone? Like, is the weight of history off their shoulders here?
A little bit. I mean, I think everybody's going to expect them to roll the Stanley Cup then, which isn't really fair to a really good team in Ottawa who's sort of, like, found some magic of their own at this point. So I don't think they get that much of a break if then they lose in the conference final because everybody will be like, oh, you beat the elephant in the room, which is Pittsburgh. Like, what about now? How could mm-hmm. it not be Ottawa? So to a degree, I mean, they'll have done something that they haven't been able to, but there's still going to be, you know, items to check off and a new challenge. So there'll be euphoria, but it won't last that long.